So today we heard two scriptures, both casting a vision, one for the way things are and perhaps one for the way things will be one day. In Luke, Jesus warned the disciples of a very arduous journey that they could anticipate. But then in Isaiah, God spoke through the prophet of this beautiful destination on top of God's holy mountain. And though these two passages offered some very different feelings and focuses, both give us insight into the life that we can expect both here and now and beyond. Especially as we embark on our faith journeys, just as the people of Israel and Christ's disciples did. You know, it's almost like taking a mountain hike toward the kingdom of God. You know, if you've ever been on a hike in the mountains, there are some classic stages in the experience that I'm sure many of us can relate with. You've got the first stage, right? It's early morning, you get to the trailhead, you start off into the woods, the birds are just starting to sing to awaken the dawn, all is dewy and damp, the sun rises bright and shining eastern light casts new life and energy across all that it touches. The journey is new and fresh and exciting. You've got a bounce in your step and a song in your heart as you look forward to what's to come. What energy and joy to be out there at the start of the journey. Perhaps this first stage experience is similar to the perspective that the ancient Israelites had during the peak of their nation's power and security. Needs were met, leaders were wise, discerning, and powerful, and the Lord felt very near to them. They enjoyed a beautiful gleaming temple in the center of a thriving city of God, known as Jerusalem. What energy and joy in those days. Perhaps this first stage experience was also the perspective of Jesus' disciples in their early days of ministry. Here he had interrupted the humdrum of their daily lives, plucked them out of fishing and whatever else they were doing, and invited them into this new and exciting experience full of unknown wonders they had never seen before, as Jesus healed and taught and loved in ways they could never imagine. That's the first stage. Now the second stage of the hike, that's when things start to get interesting. You've been on the trail a good couple hours, right? You've maybe had your granola bar, you ate your apple, you drank about half your water. The day is getting warmer, you had to shed a layer. The air is getting a little thin, you're starting to breathe a little heavier, you got to pause every now and then, catch your breath, as you continue towards the rockier slopes. This journey is no longer all fun and games, but it's still beautiful and it still feels well worth doing. Well, in the second stage of Israel's journey, leadership was no longer the guarantee it once was. Many of their kings and leaders were downright corrupt, and the nation was at risk of threat by other nations, and eventually empires. But they still had some power and prosperity, but it was certainly slipping. And in the second stage of Christ's disciples, things had also started to take a turn. Jesus was starting to say some interesting things about his impending death and woe to those who are failing to pay attention. Basic supplies were growing thin. They were left wondering each night where in the world they were going to sleep as they continued this journey. Following that mysterious teacher was perhaps not all it had seemed cracked up to be in the second stage. Now, back to the hike. The third stage of the hike, that is when stuff gets real. You're well above the tree line. You're in barren rock. The air is so thin, the sun blares down. Your water is gone. You've just got an empty, clanging container. You've emptied your entire bag of trail mix. Why did I eat so much during the first part of the hike? You have to pause every 2 minutes and just start gasping as you try to stretch out that quad that's cramping because you didn't bring enough water. This is not the excitement and joy you signed up for. It is arduous. There's suffering involved. The lungs are on fire. The feet are sore. And every time you try to glimpse the summit, it almost seems further away than it was the last time you looked. How much further? When will I get there? We actually had like a tiny experience of this over this weekend. We went out to that trail system behind the commons, and we had already been out there for a good while, and we came to a spot where there were several different ways you could go. And we checked the map, and I saw a little half-mile old orchard loop. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds peaceful and nice and easy, so maybe let's just take that little extra route before we head home. Little did we know that the Old Orchard Loop goes straight up the tallest hill in the entire area, and we were left gasping every couple minutes and looking out to try to see the bay, but then all lungs are on fire, and I'm carrying a 13-pound baby on my chest, so that adds weight, and I'm trying not to fall over. It's no joke. The third stage is no joke. For the Israelites, the third stage of the hike came as their nation crumbled under exile to foreign powers. Their city was ravaged, their temple desecrated, their people forced to leave their land and live under the rule of another. Where was God now? Had God forsaken them? For Jesus' disciples, the third stage hit in the words we heard in Luke 21. The time is near, all will be thrown down, wars, insurrections, nation against nation, earthquakes, famine, plagues, prison, persecution, betrayal, hatred, and for some, yes, death. We're not in Nazareth anymore. Is this really something we want to commit to? Why would we keep going at this point? Why can't we quit now and turn back? Well, in the midst of those dark and foreboding words, Jesus gives one brief word that we got to cling to. Endure. Endurance. Don't be led astray. Don't be terrified. Things are going to come and go in this life. So be ready for them and find your endurance. Endurance is that deep well within each and every one of us, a well that many of us don't ever even need to access in our lives of relative comfort and ease. Yet God has put that endurance in there for the moments on the journey when we desperately need it. Endurance, it's absolutely essential in that mountain hike, right? Those late stages as you climb near the top, the point of exhaustion and soreness, hunger and pain, elevation sickness. There's nothing left to do and nothing left to give but to draw deeply from that well and find the God-given endurance deep within you, to press on, to take one more step, to push to the further ledge, to pull and strain as much as your limits can allow. It's terrifying, it's painful, but in the end, it is worth it, because in the end, you've reached the mountaintop. Yes, the mountaintop, that mysterious thin space where heaven itself meets earth with a kiss and God meets God's people. The mountaintop where Moses, the reluctant leader of the Exodus from slavery, met the Lord and received the Ten Commandments. The mountaintop where the prophet Elijah, at the end of his rope and seeking his own death, was met with God's still, small voice, calling him to continue his work. The mountaintop where Peter, James, and John, the podunk rural fishermen, glimpse a holy moment of Christ transfigured, meeting with who? Moses and Elijah. The mountaintop. It's that beautiful place described by the prophet Isaiah today that we can all anticipate reaching together one day. A place that God has restored and renewed for all to rejoice and be glad. A place where Jerusalem is no longer desecrated or a place of contention or strife, but is once again a joyful delight. A place where there is no more weeping and death and pain. A place where there's no longer extortion, manipulation, and injustice. A place where all share in equality, shelter, and ample food to eat. A place of blessing for God's people and their descendants forever. A place where our violence, our competition, and our hatred have all been washed away, leaving us with nothing but a peaceful kingdom we never could have imagined. Right there on the mountaintop. Though the difficulties come and go, though Jesus' warning rings true for all of our journeys, we find a way to endure. clinging to the hopes we have set on God's holy mountain. Hopes one day for a world where our wars have ceased, where the Ukrainian family can once again sit and share a meal together in peace in their own land, in their own home. Hope for a world where adequate housing is achievable for all people, even here in Traverse City, and no one is left to tent out in the forest and get ticketed just for existing. Hope for a world where everyone eats and lives prosperously, where there's no more famine and drought that leaves masses hungry and desperate. This is the world God does promise. This is the mountaintop we yearn for and dream for, yet we remember that we are so often stuck in that third stage of the journey, where the pain and the difficulty abound. How long, O Lord, when will that vision be realized? And that's the mystery, that's the struggle. We don't know. We cannot know for sure. But by the power of the Holy Spirit among us, what we can do is keep our eyes set on the summit and endure. In our endurance, we can be a source of hope for others in the journey, offering glimpses of the mountaintop by our own words and actions. We know from Isaiah the beautiful world God's bringing about, so why not find our ways to be glimpses of that world to our very neighbors? Glimpses of that joy and delight, health and well-being, shelter and nourishment, justice for all people, and above all, a glimpse of lasting peace. It's far from an easy task, especially knowing how much pain and trauma we ourselves have had to undergo, right? And it does no good for anyone to ignore those needs, to try to obsess over others' needs to the point where we collapse on the trail and can't go any further. But each of us, in our own God-given capacity, can tap into that endurance in the here and now and offer glimpses of God's good future for others. So be a glimpse. Be a glimpse of joy to the friend that is not feeling well. Be a glimpse of healing as you visit hospitalized church members. Be a glimpse of shelter as you volunteer at Safe Harbor or serve with our partners at Habitat for Humanity. Be a glimpse of justice, listening to those who experience oppression. Be a glimpse of peace as you offer friendship and hospitality, even to those who voted differently than you did last week. The day is coming when God's peaceful kingdom on that mountaintop will be a reality. But we know not when or how it comes. So in the meantime, we endure, one step at a time. Amen.